We're learning Kras Yontif, we're learning Eretz HaTshuva, the commentary of Rav Reuven Sasson, and we're learning Perches Sif Tezayin. We read it inside last Erev Shabbos, the Lashon of Rav Kook, and we're going to just go through it now with the commentary, with the Perush, and try to understand it in a deeper way. Bezal Hashem. So you should have it. It was there last week, and you should have the... it's called a copy, whatever it's called these days, a picture of it. So beginning with the commentary, let's start. We just read the first sentence. That's where we got up to last day of Shabbos. Piska zu chashuv moed v'hemshach l'piska gudemis v'am lamin ma'u ma'bat ha'nachan al ke'ev ha'tzar ha'nara ha'mergoshim b'shoa sh'odim is'ayir ala'a so'is tshuva. This unspoken pain that a person, it's not really discussed in this form. We don't find it in this form, the pain, the agmas nefesh, the anguish that a person experiences when he's misor lasis tshuva, when he has this isoris to do tshuva, there's this mixture of excitement and dread and this feeling of pain, which Rav Kook analyzes. He says again his words kishor la libo. When a person begins to think about doing tshuva and to change his life, and not just what he does, not just masa, but rikshoysov, to work on himself, on his feelings, even the person is just considers this, just thinks about it, just thought of tshuva. I feel so he explains, I feel tshuva adai nimtzes rak b'machshava lo b'maisa. Even though the person hasn't actually gotten around to changing or doing anything yet, he's just considering change, thinking about tshuva. Lo yipol libo v'kirbo, imashu nechrad b'bnei roiv ha'avaynis shenasu etzlo, yosim rogoshim. So Rav Kook says he shouldn't be discouraged. Lo yipol libo v'kirbo, because he's terrified. Because all of a sudden, these averus that he tried not to think about, that he was ignoring, that all year, suddenly they're yosem rogashim. Suddenly he feels them in a very strong way. He's going back into the past, and he's looking at himself and seeing that it's not as beautiful as he was making believe. So Rav Sasson explains, k'shahadam misayir l'tshuva. When a person is misarit to do tshuva, and all of us have a service this time of the year to do tshuva, ha'avanos nasim es lo yosim rogoshim. He feels the averus much more than during the entire year. Humargish chazak yoser es nochechus ha'chatoim. He feels the presence of those sins. They come up again on his screen. Ves navlosam es and the ugliness of those things that he did wrong. This is very unpleasant. It's very unpleasant. Things that we did, things that we said, things that we were thinking about that we shouldn't have, and so on, we prefer to just move on and put them in the past. And now here they are again. So it's a hagoshem od lo ni'ima. Halul liyos ba'ochrav, which could, liyos ba'ochrav, which means it could cause damage, it could cause a setback. In other words, it could have a very negative effect on a person. That's what we see, for instance, that the Svarim HaKadoshim, the Alter Rebbe, the Baal Tanya, says, like when it says in Pasuk, Chatosi Kenegdi Samit. So that's a strong, those are strong words. Chatosi Kenegdi Samit means that my Averas are always before my eyes. But the Alter Rebbe says that if a person lives in that way, that his Averas are always in front of his eyes, if you look at this Svarim, the Musa Svarim talk a lot about living that way. So the Alter Rebbe says that nowadays you wouldn't get out of bed. You wouldn't move on. You just wouldn't be able to go on with your life. Chatosi kenegdi samit, that your averus are mamish sitting in front of you and constantly being replayed in front of you. You can't live like that. You can't live. So the Alter Rebbe explains that the word kenegdi, we see in Tanakh, like it's, when it says, Vayam to kenegdi harav, it says that Bnei Yisrael stood across from the mountain. It means from a distance. It doesn't mean that they were standing with their faces on the mountain. It means the mountain was far away. It's there looming, the mountain, but you're not with your face on the mountain. So Baal Tanya says that a person has to recall, has to sometimes revisit. Tshuva means to revisit those less attractive parts of life, to revisit them, to do tshuva. But one doesn't live in that way where it's constantly before you, because you can't continue. You wouldn't be able to live. That's why Bechlal, the Baal Tanya, and all the Talmidei Hashem said that a person should, we've spoken about this so many times over the years, that a person should set aside a certain time during the week, that there's a few minutes to be mahara in these things, and we're learning about in his bardus, by his bardus, to cheshbon nefesh, mishpat, that we're learning about by his bardus. But otherwise, what he's explaining here is that this very, very, this terrible feeling of looking at oneself in that way and seeing the mistakes of the past could cause a very, very bad setback in a person's life. Unless you understand this in the right way. And that's what this Sif in Arsa Tshuva is about. Understanding these feelings in a healthy way. The fact that thinking, remembering our mistakes of the past is so painful, that's probably the main reason, the main cause, Sherabim soldim umaasim b'tshuva, that many people just recoil and can't stand it, disgusted with the whole thing of tshuva. V'koshrim aysa, and associate, the next page, im halka atzmis, and associate all thoughts of tshuva and feelings of tshuva with a terrible inadequacy of oneself. Utchushois amukos shel yeyush, which bring to very deep feelings of yeyush, of despair, ushviras nefesh, and tzebrochen kaitut, breaks a person. Halalufnei atshuva hegishu atzmam toivim. Before Rosh Hashanah, before Elul Rosh Hashanah, we were happy, we felt good, we were pretty content with ourselves. And then what happens is if I feel halalim sheifus of atzmas toivim. And even if a person during the course of the year has all kinds of aspirations and good ritzainis to do good things, v'keis bar ha-tshuva, and now all of a sudden tshuva season has arrived. Of course, every day is, but now it's El Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, so tshuva season is here. Ma'amida b'fneim kol pegameim, so now you have the magnifying glass on. You know, I remember there was a book that we read in high school. It's a very famous book called Gulliver's Travels. You remember from Jonathan Swift? He was a very, very chashuv writer, and it's really a remarkable book. The whole thing's a political commentary, of course, what was going on at that time in England. But one of the nakudas that I remember so clearly was, remember the first he was. Gulliver was in a place where where everybody was tiny. He was a giant, and then he was a place where he was tiny and everybody else was a giant. So, you remember that? Lilliputians. Yeah. So, it's all a marshal. It's a very harsh marshal of what was going on in the world at that time in Europe. But there was one nakuda that I remember is that when he was tiny. When he was in this place of giants, so there was this. So he was like he found like a, he was like a bug, and he was on the face of some very attractive woman. And when he was in that state of being like this little bug on the face of that person, again, I haven't seen this. This is like 55 years ago, but when he was on the face of that person, so he saw like. All of the pimples and all of the stuff on the skin, and you know, he wasn't seeing that beautiful face. He was seeing it up close, and whenever you examine something up close, and you study it in that way, this is Oshayim in this thing. I don't have to translate that. It's not so beautiful. So what happens is that it comes to El Hashanah, and everybody has their magnifying glass. Every Elochid, every God-fearing Jew, is walking around with a magnifying glass. And he's starting to look at his life. And it's Nisa Zayshayin. It's not so beautiful. So what happens is Ma'amid B'fnei is Kol Pagameyam, the same way in that story, that all of a sudden he saw that her complexion, this beautiful woman's complexion, was not so beautiful. It has all kinds of things on it. And when you look at things with a magnifying glass, the conclusion you could come to is that I'm a bad person. I'm a bad person. I'm a mushkos. How did I say that like that? How did I talk like that? What did I do? What was I thinking? All those feelings that we have. Nidmalahem she'en yonish el hatshuva. It seems to a person, and really, it's so easy for the kids to grow up with this thought, and it's very hard to get rid of this. So the associations that from the time that we're young, these associations. A very wonderful woman that she wrote a book about, I think Vidui for your children or something. It came out, and she contacted me and asked me to write something, and I said, please, respectfully, I'm not doing that. You should have success with everything you're doing, and I'm sure it's fantastic, and you're doing a huge mitzvah. But I don't believe that the vidui should be any more explicit or translated for children. As a matter of fact, I think that children should basically ignore all of that, and that's not a time to do such a thing. The children grow up, and from the time that they're kids, they carry that with them into adulthood. That this is a miserable time, and tshuva is a time of yeyush, and just to get past it, and to put everything again away, and to just make believe and go back to life. Because the feeling is that the inyan shel tshuva he liyayish es adam, that the whole inyan of tshuva is yeyush, is to tell you that you're hopeless. Mikol hanekudas hatoyves, that you have no hope. Mikol hanekudas hatoyves she'od choshev shekayomus bo, anything good that you thought that you had in you, forget about it. Ulis maked b'kishlanoisa, and the thought of tshuva is to be focused on all of my failures. And b'teva people can't stand to think about their failures, so this is what tshuva means. I would probably say to most people in the world, this is what tshuva means. I mean, there's no study of this, but that's what tshuva means. V'heyos vein odam bari sha'ohev tchushos umifgashim keila. A healthy person does not love these feelings of negativity, of discouragement, of despair, of failure, of ugliness. They don't like these feelings and these encounters with the darker side. Hofeches ha'tshuva. The davar bilti nizbal or bilti rotsui, tshuva becomes something which is unbearable. Hayom hanaroyim ledugma hovchim ledavar kasha umeik. Therefore, this time of the year become davar kasha, something hard umeik, and something which it hurts. It hurts. It's unsettling. It's hurtful. Im kol hashan ha'odam barach mehatshuva. The whole year, the person is running away, like Adam Arishan hiding in the garden among the trees. And that's how we are the whole year. Umeis askus impagomav. Person doesn't want to be busy with his blemishes, with the less attractive complexion, the way that he looks to the world. He doesn't want to be busy with that stuff. Hine borim yamim elu. All of a sudden, these days appear again. Here they are again. The charedosim and all the pachad, the fear. And then again, going over, talks that you heard and things, notes that you have and memories and so on. And, you should be shaking like the fish in the water, right? All the things that be. And ma'amidim es ha'odam b'mish'ol tzar. You feel like... You're in this narrow, like in a maze. You feel that you're in this narrow path. Sheinu menu miflat, and there's just just to try to get past this. There's no way to escape. And the Torah and Halacha and the davening is forcing me to admit, to face, and to admit that I'm a Rasha, or that I have done terrible, disgusting things. So what's happened is that the most illuminated and pure and beautiful days of the year have changed in our eyes. Lemorim, to be bitter, v'amach even b'yoseh, the most bitter and painful time of the year. For most people, the machzer is much, much, much more bitter than a little kazayis of marah, I would say. Much more bitter. Can you imagine if they would have that like, it'd be Lel Pesach, and they would say, and they'd put up like that baltfila that you can't stand, and you'd be at the Seder, and they'd say, okay, v'yimor is chayeyim, and you'd read the Haggadah, and all of a sudden, you know, another would say, we have a new way of feeling the bitterness of slavery. And you say, I'm not having a couple pieces of lettuce? No. And all of a sudden, that worst chasm steps into the room. And the Navi says, you are now obligated to listen, to participate. And they give you this fat book with a million words that you don't understand, and nigunim that you're tired of. And they say, okay, enjoy. You'll be out, you know, 6 hours from now. That's not... And then we have a little bit of lettuce. Everybody here knows about tefillah that would have been in Mitzrayim much worse than any other thing. Or to be stuck in and not doing what you want to do. But that's nothing compared to the bitterness of facing oneself and one's mistakes and one's faults. If you take things seriously, obviously for the people who don't take this stuff seriously, it's just a schlep and try to find the fastest minion in town or the fastest minion in the shul, and just let's get this over with. Let's just get this over with. And get back to the program, get back to eating, get back to sleeping, whatever. Just Arizal says you're allowed to sleep on Rosh Hashanah. You know, Let's get back to after Chatzos. Is there any shul that, you know, except maybe Vasikin? Maybe he says, so after Chatzos you can take a nap. He's like, wow, that's great. Maybe he said that. It means it's like a Kabbalistic thing. Take a nap on Rosh Hashanah. Because we all grew up hearing that, how could you sleep? You're being judged, you're in court, and you're going to sleep, you're in court, you're going to sleep, you're going to sleep, you're going to sleep. And like while the teacher's saying that, we're all like falling asleep, and this fear, this pachad, how could you even put your head on a pillow? How dare you? Do you know that you're right now, you're standing in you're in court in front of the judge, and the guillotine is ready, and the executioner is standing there with like a black hood, and he's waiting for your head, and you're going to sleep. So, how are you supposed to look forward to a day like that? Like, I can't wait for Yom Nirayim. Seriously, the stuff that I grew up hearing, you know, you really need your whole life to be in therapy to deal with, just to try to get past it, to get over it. Stuff that I heard, the scary stuff. You don't feel that way? It's because your head was already chopped off. You don't have a head. You don't have a heart. If you had a head, if you had a heart, you'd be terrified. You wouldn't be able. You'd be shaking like the fish in the water. And I mean, I'm not saying that. And tzaddikim said these things, and they were nagat to earlier generations. But how does a person come to Yom Tovim in such a way? And these are the most beautiful days, but they turn into the most painful days. So tshuva triggers all of those things for many people. The word tshuva triggers these feelings. The kein ha'fechas ha'tshuva midover nifla u'marinin. It's changed from something which is amazing and ma'anim, which means refreshing and exciting. It's coming to expand all that's good in a person, to draw out all that's good, and to illuminate and to bring out in his life all that's positive, all that's good, and all that's holy. And instead, it becomes the davar koyder. It becomes something which is dark, hamarasik, is an effort that crushes. the soul, umashia tam neuro mashpil, and leaves a terrible, terrible taste that's mashpil, that degrades the person. Al kain, therefore, harav mechazek umayu, therefore Rav Kook is mechazek us, he's teaching us. Lo yipo bekibba mashuhu nechon, and they write Rav Anishinas was layasim agashim. Not to slip into this terror, into this fear, into this depression over that sudden awareness of all of the pockmarks and all of the warts. Don't let that happen. Shekein ha'uvda shebeglal ha'tshuva nasu avaynis morgoshim yoser. The very fact that you are becoming now more sensitive to the failures of the past year. He edus, that itself is the greatest edus, the greatest testimony. Al hiskat musu shel adam is the greatest testimony that you're in a good place. That doesn't mean that everything is the way it has to be, but it's a very strong simon that you are a person, that you're moving forward, that the hiskat mus. Kikachu, Rav Kook's words, kikachu teva adar, because the nature of things are, is, shekol zman she'odam hu nirdav m'neizav ha'tev ha'gast, as long as a person is pursued, in other words, as long as a person is caught up in his coarse nature, it just is in his natural state, mirutzas achayim, just the routine of life, the busyness of life, she'en in the sense p'nai lesbonim, which doesn't give a person a chance to sit and to think. That's why we're talking about learning the Hisbardus. Chabur is so important, is to have time, to make time for Hisbardus and Mishpat, judging oneself and so on. So v'cheshkas, Rav Kook's words, v'cheshkas hamidas haros hasavavos also. All of these terrible midas that he's surrounded with, meaning with himself, who einenu margish kol kach b'chatov, because the whole year he's caught up in so many crazy things, he doesn't feel his averis. He doesn't feel them. Who roduf b'merutza ha-mashkicha mimenu es chayev ha-pnimim. He's just in this race. He's just in this maze, in this race, that causes him to forget his inner life. Ha-mashkicha mimenu es chayev ha-pnimim. That causes him to forget chayev ha-pnimim. The inner life of the truth. Umela goremes shalayagish bipgamim shibikirba. So Mela, the whole year, he doesn't feel any of these things. He doesn't feel his avayus. He doesn't. Ad shelefamim, Rav Kook's words, she'enem agisham klo. Go a whole year, doing all kinds of bad things, saying bad things, thinking bad things. She'enem agisham klo. Doesn't feel anything. He just gets up, and he goes to shul, does his things, does his mitzvahs, and Shabbos, and davening. Agisham klo. Ve'o tzadik be'ena. And he's a tzadik in his eyes. V'harayah. And one of the greatest proofs of that is how little humility there is in the world. Because if a person would live without awareness of his mistakes and his shortcomings and failures, he'd be a lot more humble. There'd be a lot more humility. He wouldn't be such a loudmouth. Wouldn't be so arrogant. Wouldn't be so confident. No. You know, imagine you got a baseball player. The guy's batting, 102. I don't know if you know about that. That's bad. The guy's batting 102. I mean, it's high for temperature, but it's low for baseball. The guy's batting 102. And he's going around talking to like kids in the park about giving them batting tips. You know, and it's like everybody says, "What are you? What are you Ty Cobb or somebody? You're a failure." But you see, everybody walks around shul and in life all kinds of aces and like. Balabatim, everybody knows everything. Everybody knows everything. Everybody knows what to do with the Iranians, what to do with the immigrants, how to run the Knesset, how to run the White House, who should be president, better than what the rabbi knows about in your synagogue, about what the Torah is saying, about what Hashem wants. Everybody's like a balabas. Everybody's a baldov. If people would be walking around with this, there'd be much more humility. It wouldn't be, everybody wouldn't be Vaish Kalam Adam. Everybody is like Vaish Kalam Adam, you know, the way people talk and the way people carry themselves And people wouldn't be as like chilled and relaxed as they are. You know, it would be a different surah of life. But the Torah says that any magishim klum, don't look. There's no magnifying glass. There's no, only with other people you look to see. And wouldn't we be much more tolerant of other people and their mistakes? If we were conscious of our own faults, we'd be infinitely more tolerant of other people's problems. We'd be much more tolerant of other people. But we're intolerant. Again, I'm just saying this, b'chlal. There's an intolerance with any single fault of a husband, of a wife, of a friend, of a kid, of a parent. Every single thing is magnified. Where's the humility? What about your own? What about your own chesroinus? And who are you? So you see that we don't need many rayas that we go through the whole year without thinking about, without looking at ourselves carefully. We'd be much more humble. We'd be much more tolerant, much more understanding, much more compassionate. I was tzaddik b'einav, but when you're a tzaddik in your own eyes, so what Rav Sasson is explaining, Rav Kook, is that the real problem is when you're living like this, when you think of yourself as a tzaddik. That should worry you. In other words, the fact that you're not worried at all during the year, that's something to worry about. The fact that you are the way that I was just describing, just looking down at other people and being so confident and arrogant and so on, that's something that should cause concern, deep concern. Hello, Adam Tamid Alul Lechet Ulamichshol. Listen, we're all very vulnerable, and we all are on the verge of making mistakes in our lives and failing. Al Kain Tamid Libo Tzarech Leos Doig Bekirbo. Therefore, Chazal tell us that a person should always, there should always be this quality of caution that comes with that humility of knowing that it's so easy for me to slip up. I've done it a million times in the past. It's so easy for me to slip up. Daiga zu miida, and when a person lives in that daiga, doig libo bekirbo, when a person lives with that daiga, again, it doesn't mean an obsession, chas v'shol. It doesn't mean terror. Nothing that's unhealthy. But it means a certain delicate and gentle, ever-present humility, caution, and fear. Caution. To live a cautious life, knowing how so many times I've slipped. To be cautious. And when a person has this way of living, zumi'id al tahara pnimis, reflects upon, it bears testimony of a certain inner purity that this person has, a pureness, a tahara pnimis, while a kara amitis and a true awareness, but of the sha'adam in a mushlam, that we're not perfect. And that's, Hashem doesn't tell us to be perfect. But living with that awareness of our imperfections, v'ol of lishma atzman, therefore, you have to be careful to live in a way where you're careful with what you say, with what you're looking at, with what you're doing, because you know that in a moment, in a second, you could slip into the abyss. And we've all been there. And that happens. And to know that, and to be honest about it. So Chazal tells us, the Gemara tells us, that there are certain prerequisites to learning Sisrei Torah, learning the secrets of Torah. This is a very big subject in the Svar Makdoshim, but there are certain prerequisites. The Shema, to be able to understand, to learn and to understand Sisrei Torah, the secrets of Torah. V'omerish etnai merkazi, who? One of the most important conditions or prerequisites of learning Sisrei Torah, shiyeh libo doeg bikirbo. That a person should have this worried heart, a heart that worries. Again, not in an extreme, unhealthy way, but a heart that worries. A heart that worries. Daigazu. Hiayachas hanachon ala mesiyah shonu chayimba. That type of a daiga, that worry, is the correct response or the correct attitude, approach to the mitzias that we're living in. Because we're living in a mitzias that's dangerous. That's dangerous. Ein lichyos bashalyos euphoria, not to live in delusions and euphoria. Shel tzadikus gemura ki ilu yura a tzadik. Hanakia, gemura hanakia, ubetucha mikol michshol, that you're totally confident and everything is gewaldig. Like in the cartoons, he used to have like a Bugs Bunny, that he'd be like on a tall, like a skyscraper, a construction on the skyscraper. There were these beams that were being taken, pulled by a crane, and he's walking like on one, and then he goes on to another. He walks on. That's not, you know, that's not a good way to live. That's for the cartoons. That's not in real life. But people live like that. People live like that. There's nothing to be afraid of. I'm not falling. Dafke mishalibo doig bekirbo alavanosov. Therefore, Rav Kook is telling us that, and the Gemara is telling us that dafke, a person who's worried about his aveiros, worried, not obsessed, but he's concerned. Motsui bechevra toiva. That person who has this concern about his mistakes, motzui becherva toira, chervas kolach hafeitz and betikun biskadmus. He now is fine. He's now, by having this type of a worry or concern, he's in the company of very, very chashuva people, of chashuva people who want to be better. The fact that you have those daigas, the fact that it worries you, that you're worried, that Elul brings to a feelings of concern. Not to go into that place of running away. Running away is when it causes you to be afraid and brings and triggers all those horrible memories and you look at yourself, God forbid, like a Russia. No. But to be concerned, then you're part of a very elite group of people in the world who are actually trying to make progress and to move forward. Imkain, the next page. So of Cook's words, Kevin Shakaicha Musari Misora. That feeling of discomfort, of concern, of worry, that pinch of pain that comes with thoughts of tshuva, b'shor shehirher b'tshuva, when the person has this feeling, this thought of tshuva, miyad nigla or haneshama. It means, when you have that feeling, it means that you're getting a glimpse of the light of your soul, of who you really are. It's an amazing time. It's an amazing time. It's gilui nigla or haneshama. There's a gili of the or haneshama. It's the whole year. The neshama could be blocked and clouded over, and you don't see anything at all of the neshama. That's how you just go on. We go on like that, like nothing. Now here, there's like this hole that's punched in that confident, arrogant, tzaddik, make-believe tzaddik, the veneer, there's a hole that's punched in it, and there's the aura of the neshama. The light of the neshama has broken through that darkness. That's cause for celebration. That's why Rosh Hashanah is such a strange time. It's the happiest day, and it's also a worrisome time, this time. Hatshuva mi'ira b'adam es or haneshama. It suddenly shines into the soul, the or haneshama, into the person's mind, into his heart, rather the light of the neshama. He mayreres es hatzdadim ha'elyoni v'yaisa shabadim, and it's awakening. The highest part of a person has been awakened from its sleep, and that higher part of the person comes and tells the person, "Zalotov, we can't go on like this." The neshama comes along and says, "I'm worried about you. I'm worried about you." The way that you're living, the way that you're talking, the way that you're thinking, the way that you're going on with your life, I'm worried about you. And the Shema says to the person, I'm worried about you. Or zehu ka'avuka v'cheder chashuch. This light is like a torch in a dark room. In Rav Kook's words, ayideha or nivdekes hinavsho kulo etzlo. Yes, but now that you have this light, so you see all the warts. V'rohu es kol k'sameh. You see all the stains. V'libo doig b'kirbo. And you're worried. B'charada gedola, and there is this feeling of terror. Al miyud shleimuso, with this sudden awareness of how far, far away you are from shleimus, how far we are from perfection. V'oymek nifilasa, and to what a deep place we've fallen. So Sasson explains, Zeo klal choshev sheyesh lizko heitev. This is a very important thing to remember. Hayichol is lizhoises apagam. The fact that a person is now seeing his faults, he's seeing the pagamim, he's seeing the ugliness of his life, ulahake b'cheit shuchata, and to recognize the averis, and to remember the averis that he did, where does that memory come from? Where do those thoughts come from? The whole year he didn't think about it. Novas mi hashaychus el masha hafuch mimenu el taharus haneshama. It's coming from that, all of that which is the opposite of sin, the opposite of that darkness, the opposite of the ugliness. These thoughts are coming from the holiest place of who you are. It's coming from taharus haneshama, from that pure child inside of you. That's crying to be remembered. That's what's coming from. Because it's that pure child inside of you that recoils from the ugliness that you brought into his life, into her life, that feels so horrified by what you've damaged. It's that child, it's that pure child inside of you that still cares, that still wants to change, that still believes that it's possible to change. But of course, that's Mo'ira, this fear that, and we have all these mixed emotions. The famous Chabad Mashpia that Tzadik Reb Mendel Fortifas, Zeche Tzadik Kosh Levracha. So, when he was in Siberia, so he was there with all different characters. There are a lot of interesting stories. The people that he was with, they weren't Jews. He was mostly with all these Russian prisoners of war. It was all kinds of interesting people. So he said, Mendel said, that there was with him together in his bunk, there was a guy that worked, there was a fellow that worked in the circus. He was from the circus. And he was his act was to be a tightrope, you know, the tightrope, to walk on, that's what's tightrope, right? To walk on the rope, you know, that was his job in the circus. So Mendel was talking to him, they were friends, and Mendel was talking to him one day, and he asked him, you know, whatever, his name is Ivan Igor, he asked him, Mendel said, it's an amazing thing, you know, in those years they didn't do it like over nets, you know, they did it like it was, and Mendel asked him, like, what's the scariest part of the tightrope? He said, the scariest part is when I have to turn around on it. That's the scariest part. When I have to turn and go the other way. As long as I'm just going, it's not scary. But when I have to turn around, that's when it's scary. So Mendel, you hear, what does it mean turning around? Turning around is tshuva. Tshuva means going back. It means turning around, changing, facing that possibility of it hasn't been perfect and I need to do something about it. That's turning around on the tightrope. It's not like this in life. There you go. But you have to turn around on the tightrope. So Reb Mendel said, it's a gewaldige muscle that he learned from this circus guy. That's because that you ma'er es slita v'charada me'alichluk shabavaniski. It hurts to see the trail of you know mistakes that was left behind. Avodavka, Rav Kook says, Avodavka az yasim alibo. But Davka, when you're feeling this, now you can go in two directions. You could either just run away from tshuva and run into those feelings of, like, you know, just getting finished with Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, or the hak in, you know, the hak in shul, you know, where'd you get that shtender? Why did you get a shtender? Your chair is softer than mine. You know, they're torturing me. I have back problems, and then the shul's going to be sued for hurting me, destroying my life. You know, you can go into the hak, because every shul has hak. Every shul, by the kosel, there's the most hak of anywhere in the world. Every shul has hak. Every shul has all kinds of things that this is not your, and this is him. You know, that whole world of synagogue life that we live in. There was a book that was written 50 years ago called Synagogue Life. There's a sociologist that's put a magnifying glass on how Jews are with each other. Like how like a regular day in shul. Like all the things that we don't pay attention to that are so funny and interesting.
And they're having the kichel this week about things in shul.
Yeah. So that's, you know, you put a magnifying glass on that. I mean, if a person that's not Jewish or not familiar with these things will look at, like, what goes on in shul. It's the craziest place. It's the funniest place, right? So you could just forget about it and just, you're looking at that. You know what? You took a little bit. The light of the neshama came a little bit in. There was a flash of light, and you started to see some things that were not good. So what a lot of people do is this. I don't want to go there. I'm not going to be there. And what are we going to do? We'll talk about what's for lunch. We'll think about the tzimmes or whatever. And stam. What are the you know, conversations at the Rosh Hashanah table after a whole morning of davening? The conversations of Rosh Hashanah. Is there all ways of running away? Just, I don't want to face any of this. That's one possibility. Or the other possibility is just the opposite. That now that you've seen something, and this daiga that it brings, this concern and worry that it causes, these are like Elionovi is coming to say, Elionovi is coming to tell you good news. The good news is that kid inside of you, Elepnach, he's still alive. That little boy, that little girl, you remember? Before all the bad stuff. He's still alive. She's still alive. Elapnach. Chai v'kayim. The pure, higher self is still there. Still alive. Don't give up. I'm avasim Yeshua Salamim. This is good news that this, you could have a Yeshua Salamim. B'tikun ha-nefesh, and you could fix things. Shekein hunim sebe makam tayv. You should know that you're in a good place. You're connecting to the aura of the neshama, to the light of the soul. That's why these things hurt you, and you're not just whitewashing. You're not just saying like you usually do the whole year. No. Even if you have a thought, vaita, you just go vaita. No. The strongest proof that a person is moving away from his aveiros, is pulling out of that dark room, is the strongest sign is because he is the fact that he's worried about it. It concerns him. Therefore, you have to read this feeling in this map. You have to read this clearly. You have to read this in an accurate and healthy way. Rav Kook says, "Yosim elibo to take the heart, hatev, shebesura toivim manachas besach daiga b'kev." Said that in this discomfort and pain, in this daiga, in this worry that you have, there is a besura toivim. There's good news. V'yischazik ma'od b'zeh b'Hashem elokav, to be mischazik b'Hashem elokav in Hashem. We need a kaiser Rav Malcolm Acher, and we find from Rav Kook. In another place, he writes the following: "Azula Shina, of Cook's words, Taharis on the Shama Garemis, Hishamagishim Yafa Bakalachatoim. Dafka, the purity, the pureness of the soul causes a person to feel all of the chatoim, to feel all of the, to feel the sins, because the background of the person's soul is absolutely pure. So if you have like a Welt's painting, like, you know, whatever, the most famous, Mona Lisa, and there's a little bit of a, you know, of somebody spritz something on it, it's a hal churban, because this is a painting of perfection, and all of a sudden there's a black dot on it, but the background is perfect and there's a black dot. So you feel that the blackness of that imperfection. That means that you're among those people where the path towards repair is there. There's a path leading towards improvement. It's open before you. The fact that these things, that you care about these things and you're thinking about them, means that the path towards improvement is wide open before you. Because it seems, right, at this time it seems I can't possibly be better. I can't change these things. That Rav Kook is teaching us that what causes a person to feel the aveiros is davka the tahara shel neshama, is the pureness of the soul. Not what you think, I'm such a Rasha. No, it's davke, the beauty of the painting that's causing you to feel that mark on it. Those who are just altogether infested with ugliness, they don't think about these things at all. It's the bechlal not. They're the baligaiva of the world. They don't feel these things at all. Al-Kain of Kook says, Ein lihi boil klal, mimashem agishim as kol ma'asa avanis. Don't become frightened by the fact that you feel the weight of your aveiros. Lo yigrimu lo adam shumis vashlus b'shleimus, and let them not cause you, God forbid, to be weak and to give up. Bo'ar Torah v'simchasa, and to in any way become weak with the light of Torah and the joy of Torah. V'chayfish b'mahalach adas, and the freedom that you have to think clearly and to move forward. She explains, it's forbidden to allow the pain that you feel over the anguish that you feel over your sins to cause you to be misyayish, to give up. Because the message that you might get and that we often got, the message is that you're not a person that could ever reach Kedusha. You're not royal Kedusha. You're not a person b'chlal that's worthy of any kind of hasagas of kedusha, of holiness, the Torah, of being great in Torah. So for a person like you to learn a little bit of art here and there of Torah, it's good enough. Who are you? Safkal Safli. You're disgusting. So what, you're gonna sit and learn? A simcha, achav sadas. But to experience simcha and achav sadas. Lo yeyush sarach l'malayis halei, v'hagosha sachei. Instead of feeling yeyush, instead of feeling despair, at that time when you feel the chait, or during this time of the year, lahepach should be the opposite. Idud v'tikva should be encouraging and give you hope. V'lama, why? So if Kook says, kabaholish mizbayal ha'odim ha'agoshes roiv avinosav zos bas, because this feeling of fear and confusion, whatever, when you notice your aveiros, zos basam hiya oishin ishmosi himetuhar, that itself is the sign that your soul is working, that your neshama is that the that the heart of your that Jewish heart is pumping, that it's working, your neshama is alive. And he explains, v'im ha'pnimius tahara, and if that inner part, if that inner world is still alive, it means that you have the ability to purify your outer life, your external life. You have the ability to conquer new territory in your day-to-day life. Because the pnimius of a person is the strongest koch in the world. It's the pnimius, the koch of the neshama is a billion times more than anything in the guf. It's the koch of the neshama. It comes from, it's a chelik al kam yamal. It's infinite. It's unlimited. V'tachriyas kol al chluchim, and can knock away all the filth. V'achitzonim, all halachum achitzonim. With this knocking, everything can in a second be cleaned, can be purified. The neshama, the karech of the neshama. Mimela gam hachatoyim shenira she'enef shoros tasak in yisukun l'masayit. That even therefore you should be confident and know that even those avarias that you think that you can't fix, you can. Of course you can. When you come into contact with the neshama, you're invincible. There's nothing you can't do. It's only the goof. The goof is yisayid may offer the sayif alayif. But the neshama. That's why we say by Nisan HaTokev, so all the stuff, Mibayesh, Mibayim, okay. So you're thinking about, right, the Mibayesh, Mibayim, so the Averis. But then we don't end Nisan HaTokev like that. How do we go? Vatu, Melechai V'Kayim, that's my Neshama. Ain't kids for, that's all. Chai v'kayim is the neshama. So all that stuff that was upsetting, all these things, chai v'kayim, invincible. Don't think mel chai v'kayim is that the Baruch Hashem is someplace and he's helping out good people, but not you. Mel chai v'kayim means the chelikul kamimal inside of you is chai v'kayim, is alive. So as a person, you know, you see somebody observing from the outside and say, what are they, out of their minds? They're reading all this stuff about me, but me, but mine. Me, but this, and me, but that. And the second letter was, dum, bum, 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 bum. Crazy people. The rest of the world, if they finish that stuff, they shoot themselves. And the Jews are going, da 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 da. It's like the happiest day of your life. Tshuva tefillah tzedakah melechai v'kayim as well. Melechai v'kayim. I want to thank you for helping me to be a person that remembers the truth and that wants to be better and that. I know that I'm living on that tightrope of miyich miyomus. Help me thank you for that I'm a person that remembers that. I remember that. V'loshen harav, b'vadai yiftachu lefanav drachim, and certainly this person who's in this parasha, they will open up new paths before him. Eich lahafach lezachias, how to change all the averis into schuyas. Have to change everything into something that's good. I feel even though right now you're looking at some of these averis, I can't see a way out of this. Hashem will open up for you a path. Hashem is Baruch, can do anything. And when you know that you're on His team and He's with you, there's nothing, anything you could do. All this stuff, it's mamish, it's a gelecht, it's a joke. But you think, I can't possibly, I'm addicted to this, I can't possibly change this in my life. I can't make that turn on the tightrope. It's a fear that you have, it's all in your mind. It's not true. When you go with Hashem, you'll find a path to fix these things. I feel a half of lezachias gemurs to change them to complete mitzvahs. That means the tshuva me'av, the highest tshuva. It's kol chatov b'tchilas ha'sefer, b'sefer perek harishon be b'yisrael lono harav she'atshuva muchrachas lavo she'besof lavo. At the very beginning of the sefer, Rav Kook wrote in the beginning of the Aras Tshuva, the first parak, that tshuva muchrachas lavo, tshuva must come, v'she'sof lavo, and it will come. It's just a matter of time. It must, and it has to, and it will. Because it's the true nature of a Jew. And we're guaranteed and promised that in the end we're going to make that turn on the tightrope. Because the pnimius of a Jew is nishmas alakim chayim, melechai v'kayim, or shchinas Hashem. V'yirotzon shenizka kolon l'tshuva l'ula. So we should be zeicher to do tshuva and to return completely to the sweetness and the love of Hashem. But to feel Hashem returning to us, be ahava with love, be gilui oira, and to see the light of tshuva, the revelation of that light. We should return completely to fill all of the borders, to fill Eretz Yisrael, and to b'mehir yameinu amen. There's no better way than that.